All of us live hectic, busy lives. We sometimes run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and we still feel like we're getting nowhere. Perhaps it's time we stop and consider an alternative to the restlessness of our world. Perhaps it's time to consider God's holy Sabbath day. You're listening to Longitude. It's Friday, February 17th, 2006. I'm Darris McNeely. We've begun a series talking about the keys to the blessing of the Sabbath. We're going through seven keys to the blessing of the Sabbath. In the last episode, we discussed the fact that the Sabbath is a sign between a holy God and a holy people who are created for a holy purpose. Let's move on today to the second key to obtaining the blessing of the Sabbath, which is this, that the Sabbath is a day that depicts freedom. Now, some people who study this subject and approach the matter of what God instructs and commands his people to do say that he no longer requires a actual seventh-day Sabbath observance. In fact, in the religious world, this is considered a term of bondage, and it's linked with the observance of the law as if that in itself was something that was so horrible. And yet we have to ask a question as we consider this point of God's word and what he says about his law. The question is this, can a good God make bad laws? As we consider that, let's turn and look into what God said. Let's look at what Christ said regarding the law. And his statement, a classic statement, is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 17, beginning, where Christ said to his disciples, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Now, this is a pretty direct statement that Christ made. He said he did not come to destroy the law, or actually he came to fulfill the law. Now, we can wrestle with that scripture if we want. We can reason around it if we want, or we could take a different point of view. Perhaps one that's a bit more closer to what Christ intended, and that is take him at his word and take the Bible, really, as the word of God and look at exactly at what he said here, that he did not come to destroy the law. No, God did not make a bad law. A good God is incapable of making a bad law. A careful study of the Bible really indelibly links the Sabbath with this concept of freedom, not bondage. When we look at what it says regarding the Sabbath from the very beginning to the end, that's very clear. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And this is a section of the scripture where there is a second giving of the law. And in doing so, when it comes to the fourth commandment, which is the commandment regarding the seventh day Sabbath, again, God repeats that it is a day that is to be a holy day, beginning in verse 12 of Deuteronomy 5. He says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." He goes on to talk about restraining and resting from work on that day. And in verse 15 is the key here that helps us to understand how this law, this fourth commandment, is linked to this subject of freedom. Because he said in verse 15, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep a Sabbath day." He reminded the Israelites that they had been in bondage to Egypt, in Egypt, and he brought them out, and he had given them their freedom. So as they kept the Sabbath, they were to be reminded that they had been in bondage to another nation, to another group of people, the Egyptians, and God had delivered them from that bondage and given them freedom. And that was something they were to remember every seventh day as the Sabbath came around, that they were now given their freedom. Israel couldn't save itself by its works, but it took God's hand to create a nation, to bring a group of slaves out and bring them into a land that he gave to them. And so the Sabbath day became every week a celebration of their freedom. And in that sense, I guess if we in the United States of America, we celebrate every 4th of July as the Independence Day, the day when the founding fathers declared their independence from the ruling nation of Great Britain and King George the III at that time. That's our Independence Day. To the Israelites, the Sabbath day was to be their Independence Day. Only God instructed them to observe that every 7 days on that cycle. The very same God that led Israel through the wilderness and gave them the law came in the personage of Jesus Christ. We're told that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And Christ approached the Sabbath with a passion, with a vigor, and with activity. He didn't restrain himself or his followers with human traditions and man-made laws and customs that actually turned the Sabbath day into a day of bondage. That had actually happened by the time of Christ's day. When Christ came on the scene making that statement, we read back in Matthew 5 about he did not come to destroy the law. In regards to the Sabbath and that particular point of the law, the Pharisees and the Jews of that day had in their way created such a system of bondage and control over the Sabbath day that Christ spent a great deal of his time covering really the subject of the Sabbath. The gospel writers give us a great deal of coverage about what Christ himself taught about the Sabbath day, really more than any other part of his ministry, it seems. And this was something that they recorded several decades following Christ's death. Christ did not distance himself from the Sabbath, but he used it as a platform to express God's goodness. He in, as God in the flesh, was the supreme interpreter of the law, and he spent a great deal of time attacking external obedience, because that's not what he was looking for in that sense, the man-made rules and traditions that really obscured the spirit and the intent of the fourth commandment. God did not make the Sabbath as a day of bondage, restriction, or retraction from living. It was the man-made restrictions of the do-gooders of his time, of Christ's day, that added multiple categories of prohibited works. Again, let's consider. It's never recorded Christ did away with the Sabbath. He experienced it. He shared his purpose. He clarified its purpose apart from human limitations. And even by his own teachings and his own deeds, he showed that the Sabbath is an active day, not a passive day, an active day in terms of the spiritual instruction, the spiritual opportunities, and the spiritual meaning of the day. It was a day where there was a great deal of freedom to do good, to show mercy, to loose men and women from physical and emotional and spiritual bondage. There's one example that we could look at in the book of Luke, chapter 12, that illustrates this. This is one of the famous passages where Christ himself performed a miracle. He was often challenged on this particular subject in the scriptures. In this case, in the book of Luke, chapter 13 and verse 10, we find that he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmities." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which man ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." Again, this was a human tradition that had obscured the real meaning of the Sabbath. And they had interpreted the idea that to do good in the sense of healing someone was a restriction on the Sabbath was not to be done. Well, Christ called them hypocrites, and he pointed to the fact that each of them would on the Sabbath day go and loose a cow or a donkey or some other animal from the stall and lead it away to water it and to take care of its physical needs on the Sabbath day. And he pointed out in verse 16, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" Well, the answer, of course, was that yes, she could be. And Christ did loose her from the bonds that she had, the physical infirmities that she had. The Sabbath, through this example and others that Christ had in his ministry in Matthew chapter 12 and Mark chapter 3, we could look at another time, showed that freedom on the Sabbath day is a very important concept. Freedom to grow, freedom to serve, freedom to be instruments in God's hands. And that's something for us all to consider. Let me ask you this. If observing God's Sabbath is shrinking your world rather than expanding it, then perhaps there's a need for a course correction. Sometimes we have to stop and look at exactly what does shackle us and what does bind us in our relationships, and understand that a lot of human ideas and even our own hectic restless lives, create systems of bondage and restrictions that keep us from experiencing the full freedoms of life that are so important to us. The Sabbath is a day of freedom. And when we approach God, all of God's Word, every point of God's law, and particularly this unique point of the law, the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment, we can find some important truths that really help us to understand a freedom that is unusual in our very hectic and restless world. True freedom only comes through God's blessing when in faithful obedience we strive to fully observe and keep in the physical as well as the spiritual intent all of the laws of God, all 10 of the laws of God, and especially this law regarding the Sabbath. If you haven't yet read the free booklet that we have available on our website entitled Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, which is a much fuller explanation and exposition of this subject about the Sabbath, going through many, many more scriptures than what I'm going through here on this particular series of podcasts, I recommend that you do so. You can access that booklet off of the United Church of God website, which is www.ucg.org. You can read it there. You can also request a copy to be sent to you. We'd be glad to do that free of charge. If you haven't read that subject, that booklet on the subject of the Sabbath, I highly recommend that you do so. We're going to stop here today, and I'll pick up next time with the third key to the blessing of the Sabbath. Thanks for listening. This is Longitude. I'm Darris McNeely.